You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Screen Heroes Podcast. Happy New Year, and welcome to the TV and film show from the Heroes Podcast Network. It's 2021. I am your regular host, Derek, and I have with me my two lovely regular longtime co-hosts, Ryan and Ray.
Sup, dudes.
Sup, dudes. We are excited to be here. It's a new year, guys. We're past 2020, and that means it's time for us to look back at the previous year before we have a preview of this now new year. Of course, it's a little different because of, 2020 being a literal dumpster fire. So, Ray.
Yes.
Why don't you take the lead on this New Year's episode?
I would be happy to. So usually what I do is I go back and listen to last year's episode to see who got what predictions correct and who made the silliest predictions. And I didn't do that this year because back in January when we had our first show of 2020, there was no way any of us could have predicted what happened, and that is just being as honest as possible. None of us sat there and been like, oh, by the way, in March, an entire deadly plague is going to hit the U.S. and change up all of our TV plans. So instead, I just kind of prepared a little bit of 2020 news, and I'm just going to like interview you guys about your 2020.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Nobody ever interviews me.
I know.
For good reason.
You're the interviewer, not the interviewee. So we've got a few changes coming up to the Screen Heroes podcast in the next couple of weeks. Once WandaVision starts, just want to get this out of the way, we will be reviewing every episode as it debuts. And for this year, we're going to try and split the episodes in half. One's a episode review of something. WandaVision's a good example. Falcon, Winter Soldier, if Doom Patrol and Titans come out this year, those kind of shows that fall into our wheelhouse. And then of course we'll be reviewing the movies that fall into our wheelhouse otherwise: Black Widow, Shang-Chi, the Snyder Cuts, and okay, and onward. So it'll be half and half episodes. And those are our changes going forward. You got to let us know if you want us to release them, though, in full episodes, both topics, or if you want Derek to do double the work and release them separately.
And, I'm always a fan of Derek doing more work, so that's the way everybody should go.
I mean, more work. It's unfair to say that it's twice the work, but it is more work.
It's at least time and a half.
So to kick things off, let's start with your favorite TV show and favorite movie of 2020.
All right. Well, favorite TV show feels like it would be really easy. I think most people probably have the same answer, so I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball and say, shockingly, that it was Star Trek Lower Decks.
Okay.
So that is the new cartoon animated Star Trek that came from Mike McMahon, who is from the creator of Rick and Morty. And it's a comedy. It's a Star Trek comedy that takes place shortly after the 10th film, Star Trek Nemesis. And it was hilarious. It was really good. It was true to the franchise. It was heartfelt and witty and just fun. It was fun. It was really, really fun. And it was only 10 episodes, so it's short. You can burn through the whole thing in like 4.5 hours. But I loved every minute of it, and I can't wait for season 2.
Nice. Okay. And your favorite movie?
That's a harder one. I think what I'm going to go with is just totally on a personal level. What I enjoy the most, this is not an objective quality thing, and it's Bill and Ted Face the Music. It was just really joyful and fun and made me just feel good watching it. It felt like a solid sequel after such a long break. We've had a lot of those long break sequels like Independence Day and Jurassic World, and some did better than others. And I thought this one did a really good job with it and kept the spirit of the original too, while losing some of the stuff that's really not good and embracing the positive aspects of it. And I just I want to watch it more.
All right, Ryan, you're up. Favorite TV show?
Yeah, if you listen to this podcast, then you know what you might have an idea what I'm going to say. Again, I'm not going to go with the show I'm sure Derek is referencing, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which ended its 7-season run in 2020, last year. It was a heartfelt and satisfying ending to a show that probably shouldn't have worked as well as it did. You know, the MCU is a big place and there's room for a lot of things in it, but the way they had to completely change the show in the middle of the first season was a big obstacle to overcome. And this show was, I mean, Disney approved season 6 and 7 at the same time with confidence in the showrunners of how good they have been doing. Season 7 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was my favorite show of the year. It's sad that it's over now, but, you know, it is what it is. And I enjoyed it while it was running.
Do you see places in the next couple of phases for certain characters like Quake and Coulson to move on?
I mean, anybody that watched the show loved Coulson. I mean, that's why we tuned in the beginning. I'd love to see him back. I'm not sure how well it would work, just because he's supposed to be dead to the Avengers, and there's been nothing saying that they know he's alive. So that would be tough. But, I'd love to see him on some of the smaller TV projects, maybe people that aren't the Avengers, you know, Moon Knight or She-Hulk or some of those things. And Quake, I think definitely she can hold her own. She's grown as an actress in season 1 by a lot. And I think a lot of people are more invested in the character now than they were. And even like there's a lot of other Inhumans that are in the show that, I don't know that they could carry their own show by themselves, but they could definitely do something in the MCU, I feel like.
Cool. Yeah. All right, and favorite movie?
It's a tough one for me. I feel like I'm assuming you mean favorite new movie in the year 2020. Yeah,
favorite movie that released in 2020.
It's tough because, you know, I feel like I didn't watch, like, but maybe 4 movies or something in 2020 that actually released. It's insane. But probably from the small selection that I have, Birds of Prey would probably be my favorite. I really enjoyed the action scenes in that movie. It had its share of problems, but I think overall it was the more enjoyable of the 2 DC films, which are really the only superhero fare that we got in 2020.
That's true.
And, you know, the John Wick style of, like, fight choreography really translated well to the more grounded and like street level characters that are part of the Birds of Prey. So on that level, it very much worked for me and I enjoyed it. So that's probably my favorite movie of 2020.
Nice. Okay. So
what about you, Rachel?
Oh yeah, me. I'm just going to say Mandalorian was absolutely wonderful. It was a nice breath of fresh air to have good quality Star Wars content weekly.
Something we haven't had in a while. Not weekly, but or at all, really.
At all, yeah. And it doesn't seem to be divisive, which is nice among the community. Majority of people that like Star Wars like it. Majority of people that have tuned in really like it. And nobody seems to really hate it. You know, you may think that Grogu Baby Yoda is completely overhyped, and that's totally fine. He's everywhere, so I get it, but I haven't seen anybody say they hate it. The show that I enjoyed the most this year, though, was Schitt's Creek. I binged it during my maternity leave, and I thought the final season, which did come out this year, was incredibly well written and very emotional. So I've watched through all 6 seasons twice now. They're very short, and I just fell in love with the characters. It did take me a little bit to get into it, but after that, you know, first few episodes, I was hooked. And
yeah, I tried watching it once. I just couldn't get into it. So maybe I just didn't give it a long enough run.
It's but I've heard very
so many
possible.
Good things.
Yeah. They completely swept the Emmys this year. All four actors got an Emmy, which never wow. happens. Writing, directing, like it won like everything. So it's this final season was just really special. Okay, so
did you say your movie?
I didn't. No, I totally forgot. So my favorite movie was Palm Springs. I really also enjoyed both Birds of Prey and Bill and Ted. So shout out to Palm Springs. It's incredibly smart and a lot of fun. And
especially it was produced for Hulu, right? So mm-hmm. like for an original title on a streaming service, it was impressive.
Yeah.
Now, Hulu hasn't had a great track record with movies. They've been really up there with TV shows. I know, you know, The Handmaid's Tale has brought them a ton of awards, but not so much movies. And I feel like this one wasn't hyped as much as it should have been. It came out in the summer, not much released in the summer, and people kind of ignored it, which is a bummer because it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think people spent too much time being disappointed about all the movies that were being delayed, and they missed something that was just actually available to them.
Okay, so that brings me to my next question. What were you most disappointed in missing out on this year? Something that got pushed or canceled altogether?
Boy, that is a tough one. There was a lot that was supposed to be coming out this year. And
it's
an easy one for me.
Go for it.
Ghostbusters Afterlife, obviously. Like, you know, I'm a Ghostbusters fan. Obviously,
no.
I've never made that a real big point on the podcast.
No.
But it's you know, it was supposed to come out, I think, in June last year or July, and that and then it got pushed to like October, and then it got pushed again. And Sony came out and said, we're not releasing any movies until theaters are back open. So it's unknown when it's going to come out, if it'll even come out on this new release date.
It does have a new date now.
I knew it had a new date, but like it's had a new date twice before, and we don't know if theaters will be open at that point. So, and with Sony's comment, it's hard to say whether it'll actually come out then.
Yeah, that's you know? Fair. It's pushed to mid-June now. So, I mean, at least that's a little more realistic.
It is. Yeah, that's not super ambitious. I mean, it's somewhat likely that things could be getting closer to back to normal then. So, but yeah, that's the biggest one for me. You know, this looks like a movie I've been waiting for a long time for, since 1989. Yeah. And, you know.
You mean not 2016?
You know, that movie I thought was a movie that I was looking forward to since 1989 turned out to not be what I was hoping for, so. It was for some people, and I'm really happy for them. But for me, it was not. And so I'm hoping this movie is better. I hope not to be disappointed again. But I've already been disappointed twice that it didn't release. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll see.
What about you, Ray? What about yours? While I think
it's really difficult for me to choose between the two Marvel films that were supposed to release this year. On the one hand, Black Widow has been deserving of a film since at least Phase 2. You know, a Black Widow film probably should have come out in 2015 or 2016 instead of like Ant-Man right then and there. But Eternals was poised to be something completely new and different. They had a very diverse cast and such a fun kind of premise behind it that I was super disappointed it didn't come out this year. I am glad that everybody like is safe and they pushed off things, and I'm just very interested in knowing what Disney's plan is, especially since the HBO Warner Brothers decision.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything from Disney about Black Widow being released. They were probably waiting. I think we all were kind of under the assumption they were waiting to see what HBO, you know, what their results were with Wonder Woman, and I don't think we've got any official results other than all these records are broken, but, you know.
Well the unfortunately, streaming data is incredibly...
Hang on one sec. We lost our stream.
Oh.
Just a moment. It's getting reconnected. Okay. We are back live. If you could just start back over, Ray. Sorry about
that. Yeah, totally. Unfortunately, streaming data is really difficult for companies to track, or they lie to us or something about that. But we just know that on Christmas Day, the HBO Max app had a ton of difficulty and crashed a bunch of times because it was being flooded with people. So that's a good sign for them.
Yeah, I don't think any of us had that issue with it, but
no.
Yeah, supposedly that's what happened.
So for me, I guess my answer is probably either Black Widow or No Time to Die, which is the James Bond movie. Both of those I was really looking forward to as this big, you know, blockbuster action flicks. I'm fans of both franchises, obviously. This was kind of a weird year because there wasn't a ton that I was super excited looking forward to. A lot of stuff was like for this year that will probably now be pushed because filming was delayed. So probably one of those, you know.
That's fair. All right, so let's move on to TV for just a bit. A lot of TV shows were canceled this year, and there's TV shows that are canceled every year. However, a lot got dropped because of COVID. So do either of you have some TV shows or something that you're a little disappointed in that they're not going forward, or anything that got maybe delayed?
Well, a lot of Star Trek stuff was definitely delayed. Nothing was canceled, but production on Picard Season 2 was delayed. It's supposed to now start February 1st, whereas, you know, the goal was to have it coming out relatively soon because of the scale of the show, and obviously that can't happen now. And, you know, given...
Right, their plan was supposed to debut Season 2 shortly after Discovery Season 3 ended, correct?
I mean, that was the original goal.
Shortly after.
Yeah. To definitely have it kind of about a year after the first season. And because it's a smaller scale show, it's more reasonable to produce it in that timeline. So that's really disappointing because now we're not going to see it until maybe the end of the year if we're really lucky. And,
right.
You know, when your lead is Sir Patrick Stewart, you know, he's getting up there in age. And there's always concerns when a project gets delayed that it may not get to happen. And so... You know, the sooner those things can get underway, the better, but safely, of course. So I would definitely say that having that delayed was disappointing.
I know one of the TV shows that really got hit was Glow, and Ryan, you're a big fan of that show.
I am. It's probably not my biggest disappointment in shows that have been canceled, but it is definitely a big disappointment. That show, if you don't know, is all about women wrestlers. It's not like a truthful show. It's obviously embellished for entertainment based on reality, but
right.
It, you know, when you have a TV show that's all about people like being in other people's faces and, you know, physically interacting with each other, that's kind of hard to do in an era of COVID. And you know, they could have done like other shows and just delayed it, but instead they completely canceled it because Netflix sucks in general and does that with all the shows we like. So yeah, I mean, that was disappointing. But my biggest disappointment was probably Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And it was not as much related to COVID as it was the BLM protests and, like, the cop... Well, not the protests specifically, but the Black Lives Matter movement and the, you know, senseless violence on against Black people and, you know, there's other races, I'm sure, involved in that, too. But Black Lives Matter was the big one. And that, you know, they wanted to make it more true and not ignore what was happening in the actual world for that show, because it's a show based around police, and police were obviously a big part of the problem with those protests and with the things that they did that were really horrible. And so, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think, is for all three of us, it's a huge show that we love very, very much. It's very close to our hearts. And so we want them to be truthful because they have handled serious topics before with class and still been able to maintain the feel of the show. But I don't know if it's been delayed or completely canceled. I believe it's just been delayed until they could come up with a script that would honor the thing that the subject that they were trying to cover. But
yeah, it has not been canceled. They basically threw out all of the scripts for the season and started over. And we don't know what that means necessarily, but it is not canceled. And I think that's why for me, it wasn't my number one disappointment, because I know that it's for a good reason. That they're trying really hard to do the right thing socially. And I can appreciate that. So, hopefully they come up with some good ideas and we get to see them back, back in true form. Cause I mean, it's a wonderful show.
I miss Terry and his yogurt.
Terry's wonderful. Both Terry's, the fake one and the real one.
Right. What about you, Rachel?
DuckTales. Oh my God. So, we've been watching it and it's incredibly enjoyable. You know, growing up, they were just very episodic cartoons, and now they have overarching stories and they hit very clever punchlines and plots that just, it wasn't something done in the 90s. So watching it now is a huge breath of fresh air. You know, you expect this kind of storytelling out of dramas, and then when you get it out of a children's cartoon, I feel like it makes everything 10 times better. It's a brilliant piece of art. So now that like they've introduced Powerline from Goof Troop and Darkwing Duck, I am a little upset that they're going to cancel it. I know they're having a Darkwing Duck spinoff, and now they just announced the Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers, which is also connected. But you're also telling me that Ben Schwartz and Danny Pudi and Bobby Moynihan aren't going to be in my life anymore as three little ducks, and that makes me sad because they did such a great job.
Yeah. DuckTales is probably the best cartoon on TV right now, which is a crazy sentence.
Right? Like, did you ever think? Because it was my least favorite one as a kid out of all the Disney cartoons that were out, the ones that I just mentioned, and more so like Gargoyles, like it was not good.
Yeah. But it's brilliant now, and the animation style is wonderful. It's really good, and the stories are complex. Yeah, I mean, it's a real shame. My hope is that they know what they're doing, and they're trying to build a larger universe with the resources that they have, and we'll see DuckTales characters cross over on these shows on a regular basis. That's my hope.
That would be nice.
Especially with the way Darkwing Duck in this universe was created. You know,
so good.
Well, yeah, it's fantastic. The origin for Darkwing Duck on this show is amazing, and I love it. And it does lead good credence to having DuckTales characters on Darkwing Duck every week. So that's my hope.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. So just looking at some stuff here, some of my notes. The streaming, obviously, was huge this year. And unfortunately, the most streamed movies, all of them except for two, came out in 2019. People really used this year to catch up on stuff that they missed last year. Oh, excuse me, three. Three of them were from this year. So you got Joker, Birds of Prey, Jumanji, The Next Level, Bad Boys for Life, Knives Out, Terminator Dark Fate, Invisible Man, Ford v. Ferrari, Doolittle, and Just Mercy. Now, I know for a fact that together we all saw Joker, Birds of Prey, and Terminator Dark Fate. Did either of you see any of those other movies, either streaming this year or in theaters last year.
I saw Bad Boys for Life when it was in theaters this year, or in 2020. You did. Yeah.
Didn't you go with our friend Winsky?
I did, yeah, and it was wonderful. It was, I think it was the best of the trilogy. It was actually really quite good.
I'm going to say a sentence I never thought I'd say. Bad Boys for Life was the highest grossing box office film of 2020.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
If you had asked me what I thought the movie was going to be in January of 2020, I would not have said Bad Boys for Life.
And it was really good, too. Like, it's actually a really well done movie, especially when you compare it to the other two in the trilogy. But like, based on those numbers, though, I wonder if there's still a stigma around a movie being released direct to streaming, because most of those, even the ones from this year or from 2020 that people streamed, were still pretty new, right? Like Birds of Prey and Bad Boys for Life. They were 2020 films. And so maybe the idea of Palm Springs, right, or Enola Holmes, or, you know, Bill and Ted going straight to video, so to speak, makes people think they're not very good, so they just skip them. Versus, well, I'll stream it because, you know, Jumanji the Next Level was in theaters, right? It made $1 billion, so I'll stream that because it was obviously worth watching.
Yeah.
Possible. That's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought about that.
I have no data to back that up. It's just a thought.
When you remove the 2020 or the 2019 films from that, then you add in the Hamilton release, as well as a movie that came out of fucking nowhere, the Borat sequel, which has high ratings, high stream counts, and is showing up on many people's like favorite of 2020 list.
So I did actually watch that movie. You know, Borat really isn't my personal sense of humor.
Right.
Mine neither. There were some things in there I really didn't appreciate, you know, kind of involving some Jewish people. And, I watched it because of the Rudy Giuliani controversy, because it came out, like, right when that came out.
Right.
And that's the main reason why I watched it. And to be fair, I had never watched the original, so I thought maybe I'd find some humor in it. And there were parts that were funny, but overall, it was not really my sense of humor. But I can see how certain groups of people would like it, and I wouldn't fault anybody for liking it. It just, for me, was not... I mean, I'd almost rather watch any other movie on that list again that I've seen than watch it again. I was not a big fan.
Now, what's interesting is for those two, Hamilton and Borat 2, that kind of helps support what I was saying, because Hamilton is not a normal movie, right? It's a Broadway musical that they shot in such a way that we could view it. So that was a very unique experience for people.
And it wasn't supposed to release until 2022.
So it was,
they released it early because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. They were just trying to get content out there.
And it's a one-of-a-kind thing. Like, we've never had an opportunity to see a real Broadway show shot in a cinematic way at home. That's never been an option before. And then you have Borat, which was like a stealth release. So it was like a viral stealth campaign. Like, you know, that Cloverfield sequel they did in space that like released
Paradox
that released like right after the Super Bowl, and they announced it like a half an hour before. Like, those things get attention because they're unique, right? It was almost like that's the whole point. And it's interesting that instead of those, it wasn't, you know, the Enola Holmes and the Palm Springs movies, which are normal movies that just happened to release on streaming.
Mm-hmm. And they probably would have gotten theatrical releases.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, because Palm Springs, I think, like what Ryan said, was designed for Hulu.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know that it ever intended to have a theater release, except for, I mean, maybe they were going to do something super limited so it would be eligible for certain awards. But other than that, I don't think that was ever the plan.
That's a good point. That's fair. All right. So let's talk about some of the best of 2020. Well, the DC fandom occurred, and it was pretty much the best example of a virtual Comic-Con that we've seen. This year we saw a lot of comic conventions cancel or try to do an all virtual thing, and it was very exclusive, exclusionary. It wasn't great. So what were some of your favorite things about DC fandom?
Well, the Batman trailer, obviously. Amazing. You know, nobody, you know, people have been saying a lot of things about Robert Pattinson as Batman, and then photos and stuff, you know, those came out, and, you know, they're not, obviously stunt photos are not a great representation of a final product. And so people were talking trash on the suit and everything else, but then the trailer comes out and like 80% of those people were shut up and were like, this looks awesome. And now I want to do this costume, or I'm totally on board with this costume. You know, that for me was the major highlight. I really, really liked that trailer.
Yeah. Derek?
So for me, I think it was just the visuals of how fandom was displayed to people, because this was really a state-of-the-art AAA virtual convention that we have never seen before. Mm-hmm. And it was glorious. The green screen work was, you know, maybe a little cheesy at times and a little hokey, but it was great use of the space, and it was an amazing way to allow people to socially distance and still present together and do something that none of us would have ever been able to see. Almost all of this stuff, like the Batman trailer, would have premiered in Hall H, right, at San Diego Comic-Con, and none of us would have been there to see it, except for a small group of people. And this way, everybody had that opportunity. And there were some great interviews. Like, the Suicide Squad panel was super fun. They had, like, most of the cast, you know, showed up. And it was just a really creative way to use that time. And it was just, it felt more personal, you know?
The Shazam 2 panel was good, too. Oh,
wonderful, mm-hmm. Yeah. The Shazam 2 panel was fantastic. It just felt more real, right?
The fact that they brought Sinbad on. So much fun playing with everybody's, like, fake Mandela effect kind of thing. I love it. It's so great. And if he actually is in the movie, I'm just going to like scream.
It's gonna be your instant favorite of the DCEU.
That's just so fun. Like, who does that?
I don't know, but whoever chose that was somebody that should get a raise and probably be in charge of the DCEU from now on.
Like, that whole panel had that whole shtick to it, right? Like, you know, they had Shazoom, you know, right, as their streaming thing, and just the tone was wonderful. And I felt like the tone for the whole fandom was really positive. It was like they knew what it was, they knew what they were doing, and they were just trying to have fun with it. And for such a large company, especially DC having been so serious in the films, it was a nice kind of refreshing taste for me. I loved it. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Rachel? What was your favorite part?
Definitely the Suicide Squad. So getting to see everybody's characters and playing the Deadpool with you guys on the episode afterwards, it was just a blast. I loved some of the more retrospective panels that they had. I thought that was a great idea, because that reminded me of a comic convention. You get the news, but you also have like the small group of, you know, Doctor Who fans discussing the, you know, LGBT themes behind certain episodes and things like that. Very niche stuff that brings people together and lets you meet new friends kind of thing. So, you know, the Black women panel was very interesting, and seeing just people from Titans talk to people from the CW and the films, just all that connection was great.
The Michael Keaton confirmation was good too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The fact that he was coming back, that was a pretty big deal.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. I wish he had been on the panel. That would have been sweet.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Even if he just came in and said, I'm Batman, you know, that would have shut the internet down.
Agreed. But even some of the fan-focused stuff was really neat. They did lots of fan art. They had Jim Lee, like, talk over fan art and provide feedback to people. And, I mean, Jim Lee, if you don't know him, I mean, he's one of the greatest comic book artists of all time, and definitely one of my favorites, if not my favorite. And just having him, like, constructively speak with other fans who are trying to learn how to do that type of comic art. It was just super fun to watch and kind of see him in his element that wasn't like super curated. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Was there a movie that came out this year that you all enjoyed that we haven't discussed? Like Old Guard or Fantasy Island or, you know, The Witches or, you know, anything that we haven't talked about so far that you ended up liking or you sat down and saw and watched?
Not that came out in 2020. I had some time where I watched older movies that I hadn't seen. There was a 2019 movie that I watched that I caught up on and liked. But, you know, a lot of my movie enjoyment for the year came from things that we watched for the podcast. So,
okay. So what was your favorite
episode
we did this year?
You know, I really liked the Nick Cage talks, but we didn't have you there for all of them, Rachel. So that kind of hindered that. So probably like, I don't know, man, Demolition Man was a good one.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
We just did a lot of really good, like having movie theaters shut down and like movies not coming out, what made us have to get creative. And that was really fun, just watching some movies that we all, you know, had feelings about for, you know, different points of our lives and talking about old favorites with you guys. But I feel like Demolition Man is the one that really stood out to me. That was a really good discussion. And then Rachel being kind of converted to a fan of the movie, having never seen it and thinking that she wasn't going to like it, but then really like understanding the appeal. I think that was a pretty fun part for me.
Yeah, Demolition Man was a very surprising episode that we did because I had never seen the film and I thought it was a lot of fun. I think if I were to go with my favorite episode, though, I'm really happy that we finally reviewed Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, but never just sat down and reviewed it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and I think that was good.
It was mostly just all of us showering it with compliments, so probably not the most entertaining episode, but hey, you know what? Right. We had fun, so.
Yeah. No, I'm with both of you on those for sure. If I for a movie we haven't talked about, I'm just going to throw a shout-out to Sonic because it was really joyful, and it really was. Like, it was exactly what it was supposed to be. It is a fun, cute, kid-friendly, true-to-form video game adaptation movie. I really thought they did a wonderful job with it. And it's weird that, like, the best two video game adaptation movies I can think of off the top of my head are now Sonic and Detective Pikachu. Like, those are the best two. And maybe that says more about the rest of the genre than it does about those two films. But Demolition Man was wonderful for all the reasons you guys said. I would like to throw out the Evil Dead trilogy just because I've wanted to talk about those movies for a really long time with you guys. And, you know, have an excuse to watch all three of them is always good. So that was fun.
I guess I did watch Onward this year and we never really talked about that. That was 2020, right?
It was.
We never really talked about that one. So that, and I did enjoy that movie, though not the best movie of all time or anything, but that's probably the only movie that I watched that came out in 2020 that we didn't talk about. So I guess that's my default pick.
I tried my best to watch a lot of the new stuff this year that I saw. There's a lot more out there that I didn't see, but I thought The Invisible Man was very impressive. I enjoyed the slow burn of it and its roots in science. That was great. Emma, once I finally got through the first like half hour, it was pretty enjoyable. On the other hand, I watched, you know, Artemis Fowl, and that was upsetting. They really hinged everything on. They were definitely getting a sequel, and they are definitely not. And even the wonder. Of Josh Gad and Judy Dench could not pull this through. It's not going to happen. It's just very lackluster, and they probably should have finished their story instead of leaving most of it open-ended.
Yeah. I do want to give shout outs to Project Power, which we did review on the show, mm-hmm. and that was a Netflix release. I thought that was actually really quite good. And then I also want to give a shout out to Black Box, which is more of like a horror film, really, psychological thriller kind of thing. And you should go watch that. That's on Amazon, and you can watch that one. And go watch my buddy Tosin in a movie because it's super cool.
Let's see here. Just pulling up my notes. Okay, so unfortunately, with a pandemic, we lost a lot of people this year. We lose a lot of people every year, but sometimes, you know, a plague just comes out and wipes out more than what you expected. I think I speak for all of us when I say that Chadwick Boseman was probably the death that was both the most surprising and the one that hit us the hardest. Am I right there?
I mean, or? I think that's fair. A lot of it was just because of how shocking it was. You know, I had seen a photo of him posted online where he looked rather thin and a little emaciated. And I just, because he's an actor, I assumed it was for a role. You know, you've seen like Christian Bale do that type of thing before. And I just assumed that's what it was. And I didn't think anything of it. And then, you know, like 2 months later, I found out, you know, he died. And so like that was really shockingly sad because of his age. I mean, he was so young and he was in such a significant role. And so that was... that definitely hit hard just because of how unexpected it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of when David Bowie passed because, you know, a lot of people, or like the majority of the population, had no idea he was even sick, really. Right. And then one day he passed away and released an album. So, you know, that, yeah, when anytime a celebrity that we all like passes away, it's sad, but it's even worse when you didn't even know they were sick. You couldn't root for them to get better or, like, you know, put your positive vibes out into the atmosphere for them. But he chose to take care of that privately. And, you know, we have to respect that. But yeah, it was the fact that he played Black Panther while he had this going on is crazy. I mean, yeah, that was a pretty big loss.
Yeah. Wasn't he diagnosed like shortly after he was cast by Marvel, yeah. like before yeah. he even appeared in anything, just,
basically his yeah. entire time, you know, as Black Panther, he was struggling with this, which, I mean, is incredibly impressive that he was able to pull all of that off. Yeah, so that was really sad. There were some others that were sad too, but they're just not like as shocking. And I don't mean for that to sound bad, but.
Well, the others on my list, David Prowse, Alex Trebek, Sean Connery, Ian Holm, Fred Willard, they were all considered, you know, in their senior years, golden years, whatever you want to call it. And so when they went, it was more of a tribute to what they have done and like less of a, oh shit, how do we move on kind of thing. And I mean that more emotionally because that's not fair to just say, well, what's going to happen with Black Panther? You know, I said it then and I'll say it now. I don't really think that's a great attitude, and it's not our business. It's Marvel's business. It's Disney's business, not us.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. And there's a few other, you know, big names that were kind of, you know, Joel Schumer and Kirk Douglas. They also passed away this year. James Lipton, which was another one that was, you know. But, yeah, they were all older guys. You know, Lipton was in his 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, so still sad, but not, like, quite the same shock.
Yeah. Okay, so happier news. So the streaming services obviously did really well this year. We saw the debut of Apple TV, of HBO Max, of Peacock, and things like Netflix and Hulu, of course, went really strong. So any new shows or new seasons of shows that you just really enjoyed? I think Amazon had a really strong year with The Boys season 2 and Netflix with Umbrella Academy season 2.
Umbrella Academy season 2 was good. We watched Truth Seekers recently, which was the Simon Pegg, Nick Frost show on Amazon Prime. That was enjoyable. It was not what I expected, but yeah, we enjoyed it. I think the biggest... That. Yeah, it's pretty easy to knock out. I think their episodes are only like 30 minutes. There's not a ton of them. So the biggest news in terms of shows and movement and streaming for me was Cobra Kai moving to Netflix from the YouTube streaming platform. And that recently paid off, because they released, they moved their release date up for season 3 to January 1st of 2021. So this is not 2020, but the news of that move was a pretty big deal, especially for somebody like me. And there's a lot of other people that were really big fans of it on YouTube, and people just didn't have access to that platform to watch it, no matter how many times I recommended it. So when it moved to Netflix, it kind of gained a new following and kind of blew up. You know, so that was huge for... Mm-hmm. for previous fans of the franchise. So yeah, for me, that was like a really big deal and I was excited.
I mentioned Star Trek Lower Decks already, but that's just kind of a piece of it. CBS All Access has had a pretty big year for Star Trek. Three different shows had seasons of Star Trek on CBS All Access this year, with the beginnings of Star Trek Picard, Lower Decks, and then Discovery season 3. And the latter two bumped up against each other. So we had 23 straight weeks of Star Trek, which hasn't happened since, you know, I mean, straight weeks, I don't know that that's ever happened, actually, without some type of break. And so that was huge. I mean, 2020 was the biggest year for Star Trek television since the latter half of the 90s. You know, like it or don't like it, you know, we still had three different shows with brand new content, which is huge. So that mm-hmm. was pretty cool to know that I had all of that. We've got one episode left of season 3 of Discovery, and then we'll have a bit of a break again, kind of because of COVID. But, you know, it kind of showed a bright future for Star Trek, and that was nice.
So it's funny you guys say that. I've been looking at a lot of, you know, best and worst of 2020 just to kind of prepare for this. And Truth Seekers and Lower Decks have been put on multiple worst of 2020 lists.
Wow.
Okay.
Right? Like,
I mean, I don't want anybody to think Truth Seekers was like an amazing show or anything, but Nick Frost, he's great. And the writing of the show was not great all the time, but it was overall an enjoyable show with a different tone than what you get on a lot of other shows. So, you know, I liked that, you know, maybe not for everybody, but yeah, and everything I've heard about Lower Decks has been wonderful. So that's a weird thing, but
yeah, I mean, for Lower Decks to be on your list of worst, like forget mediocre, right? You're saying like worst shows of 2020, you have to just really dislike Star Trek.
Right.
Or you just really hate Rick and Morty and you're just like, this is the same thing except with Star Trek. So,
I mean, but it's not, but it's not. So like that means you didn't even watch it.
Right.
Yeah. Like that's the key. And so like, I know that there's a real hatred of the quote new Trek out there from certain people. And maybe that's where those lists come from, or just people who haven't actually seen the show. But if you like Rick and Morty, if you like Star Trek, if you like sci-fi and you like Futurama, you know, put in the 4.5 hours and watch the damn show. See for yourself.
A couple of TV shows were like huge viral hits and really spawned, you know, trends throughout the entire year. Did either of you watch Tiger King?
No, not even a little.
I was not interested.
No.
Yeah, me either. I did.
But yeah, it was super like meme popular and like, you know, I don't know. Cameo had like all the people from Tiger King that were dead on it and... You know, they were very popular. I don't know. I don't have any interest in it.
No, me either. It was absolutely huge, though. And things like the main guy, Joe Exotic, I think his name is. I don't even know. Asking Donald Trump for a pardon. And the woman who everybody's convinced killed her husband was on Dancing with the Stars. And they even mocked it and wore, like, cheetah print every episode. But, yeah, like, animal print clothing has gone through the roof, too. So
it's not for me.
No, me either. How about The Queen's Gambit? That show was probably less divisive and better quality than Tiger King.
I assume it released recently because I've only been seeing things about The Queen's Gambit for maybe like the last month. But
it came out September. in the end of September.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everything I've heard has been good about it. I don't know. I haven't even watched a trailer. All I know about it is that it's about chess, which doesn't really excite me. So
see, and I love chess, so I was very interested at first until I found out it's not based on a true story, and I thought it was, and I just don't know that I'm interested in a chess story that's completely fictional.
So
you prefer your chess stories to be based on true stories?
Well, just because it's about
weird, because it's everything about it says that this was based on a true story.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously it was more of like, you know, the Hollywood version of it, right? It was more exaggerated to create drama. But I thought she was a real person and this was, you know, based on her real story. And when I found out that wasn't the case, I wasn't that interested because chess for me is about that history. Like, I want to see stuff about, you know, the first, you know, people, you know, to play Deep Blue and, you know, those types of things. Like, that's the stuff that really interests me. And I don't know. Fictional chess champion just seems kind of anybody can like you can write a winner. I want to see the real winners, right? I want to hear about the like the real prodigies, the people who are truly the masters at the game.
Fair enough.
I totally get it. It's really weird. I've never seen a show where I was like, are you sure this is based solely on fiction and not? But yeah, it was weird.
Well, because, like, look at the TV that I don't really watch, like, realistic dramas. I watch sci-fi, and I watch fantasy, and I watch sitcoms. Like, you know, I watch The Mandalorian, because you know what? We don't have actual Mandalorians in the real world that they could make a show about.
How dare you?
You know? There are no actual Jedi. So I have to watch
fake ones,
you know? Star Trek isn't real. There is no warp drive yet. So I have to watch the fake stuff.
So season two of What We Do in the Shadows, I think, finally, like, blew up the show.
I completely forgot that was 2020.
Yeah, it came out earlier in the year.
It was the first year of 2020?
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, and I love What We Do in the Shadows, so yeah, right. It was right up my alley.
I was just going to ask you, like, now that it's getting the recognition that it deserves, do you think that's going to change the show?
I don't think it's going to change it. No, I mean, the people that you have in charge of it, Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement, those guys aren't going to let them do anything less than what they've already been doing, which is great. They kind of on purpose wrote themselves. I watched an interview with them and they kind of wrote themselves into a corner on purpose for the way they ended this season. So because they found that when they get into a situation like that, that's when they write the best stuff, trying to figure out how to, and as a DM, I can understand that to an extent that like when you do something so ridiculous, you don't know that there's a way out of it. Coming up with a way out of it is a super awesome exercise. And so I think that it's going to be really great if they can pull something off with it. But yeah, What We Do in the Shadows, if you haven't watched it, is wonderful. It's on Hulu because they now have FX shows and that's where it airs. And it's just a wonderful comedy that there's not really anything like on TV right now. So vampire based. So if you like that kind of stuff, you don't have to like vampires to like it, but it helps. So yeah, I love it.
And if you like, you know, mockumentaries, you'll like this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if The Office is in your wheelhouse, and like Parks and Rec and some of these like weird fake documentary shows with talking heads and the cameras and that kind of thing, yeah, it's great. It is absolutely wonderful. I'm surprised you guys haven't watched it yet. I'm really looking forward to the moment when you do.
Just haven't gotten around to it. I'm not against it.
Okay, so thing is here, I have totally forgotten to space out and take ad breaks at any point. I'm really hoping Derek can find some logical spots, but we are almost completely finished. So it feels weird to do that too. I'm gonna throw it to Derek and whatever you think is best at this point.
Just so you know, people in the chat are telling you guys to watch what we do in the shadows. I'm just throwing it out there. You're getting peer pressured, so deal with it.
Did you pay them to do that?
Not in this case, no.
Oh, okay.
I
All
haven't
right.
paid them yet, no.
All right. Well, we are going to take a short break. And when we come back, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about a bit about 2021, or are we wrapping things up? What are we doing?
Yeah, we'll do a bit of both.
Okay. We'll be right back, everybody. Okay, we are back. Ray, what are we doing?
Okay, so talking a bit about things that you may not remember actually happened. So earlier this year, Australia was on fire for like most of January, a lot of February too. Gwyneth Paltrow had her own Goop TV show on Netflix. Did you guys remember that this was that year?
I don't even
That
know if I ever knew that.
I just remember a
yeah.
bunch of jokes about her like having some sort of sexual ball in her vaginas that she uses to strengthen her vagina muscles. I don't know. That's just something I heard. I don't know
Goop
how
sells some
accurate
weird
that is.
stuff, man.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Everybody did cake-a-likes this year that
I
were
don't know what that means.
That must be something in Rachel's cake field that I don't follow.
No. Do you guys remember seeing videos of cakes that looked like other things, like a soup can? And for a
Right.
while everybody was like, this is all cake. And
Right.
I vaguely remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Evans doxed his own penis.
I do remember that.
Good times.
Good times.
I mean, there are a lot of people on my feed who are very happy about that.
Did you, either of you see it?
Yes.
Oh.
Look, I love Chris Evans. I've never made it a secret. So,
All
and
right.
professional curiosity, right? Like,
I
we
didn't
talk
per
about him on our show.
Here's the thing. I didn't purposely avoid it, but I also didn't seek it out.
I seeked it out, sucked it out. Wait, that's how we, I don't know what the present tense version of that is. But yeah.
Ah,
Oh
these are the
boy.
jokes.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Did you guys remember that Trump was impeached back in February?
That went
That was
far.
not like 3 years ago. That was February. It's just the weirdest year. We had murder hornets for 5 minutes.
They're still around. They're
Yeah,
still.
but we don't care anymore.
Well, people have a
Sure.
short attention span, but yeah.
right. So,
What are
yeah.
we doing?
I'm just having fun with 2020 stuff. I thought it was ridiculous
Let's leave 2020 in the
that.
dust.
Yes. Let's talk 2021.
Right. Okay. So. Disney is dropping a ton of content this year. Four new TV shows, five if you count What If, and so four live action, five total with animated that Chadwick Boseman has done work for. So that's going to be really cool. And four movies. Warner Brothers is dropping what, three DC movies this year, or just two? I don't. It's the Snyder Cut and Suicide Squad,
Yeah.
or. The Suicide Squad is in August. The Snyder Cut, I mean, it kind of depends how you count it because right now it's supposed to be more of a mini series for 1 hour parts. So I don't know if that counts as a movie or not, but that's supposed to be in March.
Okay.
And then we may have DC stuff like Titans and Doom Patrol. I don't think they've announced release dates yet. So
Titan both season of their three productions got held up because of COVID, but they were able to resume pretty quickly.
Well, so hang on. So Titans, yes, but Doom Patrol didn't even get renewed until after DC Fandom. So it doesn't have any production that started yet for another season, where Titans has already been doing production on season three. So we should see Titans season three in 2021. I don't know that we'll see anything else. That goes for the Harlequin cartoon as well, because it officially hasn't been renewed yet for a third season.
Right.
So just to clarify on the DC side of things.
That's a good point. So a lot of content coming out. What are you most excited about?
There's a lot of movies that theoretically are releasing this year that I'm really excited about. The first one that just kind of like is happening because it's coming to a streaming service, and that's Amazon, is Coming to America, which is the sequel to Coming mm-hmm. to America without being a number. So
it's going to be on Amazon, correct?
Yes. And it looks really great. And I love the original. It's one of my favorite comedies. It's Eddie Murphy at his peak. And I'm really excited to see this again. It looks really good. So that's definitely very high up on my list. Free Guy is really high on my list as well. That's been pushed from this past year now to late May. So mm-hmm. hopefully we get to see that at some point. I had thought that maybe they would release it on streaming because it's not like a big blockbuster. It's not Black Widow, you know? So I thought we might get that on streaming, but that hasn't happened yet. And then probably next on my list there would be the Suicide Squad. It's just between the cast and James Gunn, I'm just really excited about it.
I agree.
I want to say that already, even in how many days have we had in 2021 at this point? Five days? You know, it's already come out strong. We got Cobra Kai season three on the first, which,
and it's,
you know,
just killing it. It's got really high streaming numbers so far.
Yeah, I mean, people are loving it. I loved it. We binged it the very first day we could. So that's great. And The History of Swear Words with Nicolas Cage came out on Netflix today. I've only watched mm-hmm. a couple episodes, but so far it's delightful. So, you know, very strong already. But yeah, I think Snyder Cut is a big one for me. I'm not one of those people that expects it to be like a gift from the Messiah or something. Yeah. I'm hoping for something a little more put together than what we got with the Justice League. But, you know... Yeah, Suicide Squad is high on my list too. I'm excited about that, but obviously Ghostbusters, like I already mentioned, is my big one. But yeah, Suicide Squad I'm very much looking forward to. I think James Gunn is a perfect fit for that movie. The characters, the roster, the cast, you know, John Cena, people like to talk crap on him as an actor, and I've partaken in that in the past, but he's really come around for me and I appreciate what he does. And so seeing him in a superhero movie is something that's very exciting to me.
And he's getting his own spinoff show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not this year, I don't think. But yeah,
no.
That gives me a lot of confidence in the fact that he nailed the character. So,
totally.
And that they're confident in the movie. So, yeah, I'm very excited for those projects.
Yeah. I mean, I would add the Snyder Cut to my list as well. I don't know why I didn't mention it. And I'm with Ryan. My expectations are that it's better than what we got. You know, so I'm not setting the bar particularly high, but I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And I got to agree with you guys. Aside from what I already said, like Black Widow and Eternals, like I'm pretty much pumped for a lot of the TV content. I really want to get into WandaVision, and I'm excited that we're going to be reviewing it episode by episode this year.
Yeah, that's probably my most anticipated Marvel content. Although Shang-Chi comes. Does Shang-Chi come out this year?
It does.
It does.
July 9th.
That one's I'm really excited about that one too. But yeah, WandaVision is very anticipated, I think, for all three of us. So
WandaVision's my most anticipated show for 2021 that's confirmed for 2021. There's a possible Star Trek show that would take the cake of that barely, but it's not, I don't know that it's actually gonna release. So
yeah.
So it's definitely WandaVision.
After seeing the Loki trailer, I'm much more interested in it than I thought I was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I adore Tom Hiddleston, and I think the Loki character has really only improved over time, but he's still not, like, my favorite part in a giant universe of 21 movies and, you know, over 100 characters. So I wasn't convinced that this TV show was really going to be something special, but that trailer was a lot of fun. So even if the TV show isn't something special, I think I'll still enjoy the content.
That's fair. I mean, there are a lot of movies slated for this year. So just to kind of like rail off some that kind
of basically 2 years worth of movies coming out in 1 year because they moved everything over to this year.
I mean, in a lot of ways. I mean, in March, you've got The Kingsman and Morbius. In April, you've got No Time to Die, Mortal Kombat, A Quiet Place Part 2. You've got Last Night in Soho as well, which is an Edgar Wright film. That's the only reason I mention it, because I love him. In May, you've got Black Widow, Free Guy, Godzilla vs. Kong, Spiral, which is Chris Rock's Saw movie with Samuel L. Jackson. In June, you've got Ghostbusters. In July, you've got Shang-Chi, Space Jam, Uncharted. In August, you've got The Suicide Squad and Candyman. You've got Dune in October, The Eternals in November, and then December, you've got Spider-Man 3 and The Matrix 4.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that the HPN is going to be covering all my tickets to these movies when the theaters open back up, because there's no way I can afford these on my own. So thank you so much, HPN.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally, man. Yeah.
I think it's a movie pass card you gave me, right? So I can't wait to use that.
Yeah.
I've been waiting this whole time, so I can't wait to see how that works.
Yeah, they're still going strong.
You've got a lot of use out of that Blockbuster gold card we got you.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome. Yeah.
In sad news, by the way, we didn't really do like a news segment, but in sad news, today it was announced that Family Video is officially going out of business, and they're like the last brick-and-mortar large-scale rental place. And I mean, you know, it's not shocking, but it's a little sad.
Well, porn was really the only thing that was sustaining them. And for some reason in 2020, people figured out, you know what? We get free porn on the internet. So.
Well, there you go.
Fun fact, I actually applied to work at Family Video and got an interview and then never got the job. So I don't care that they're going under.
Ooh. Yeah, they deserve it.
Other than the nostalgia factor, right? I mean, it's... I remember going to our local video store and not Family Video, but, you know, mm-hmm. picking up games to rent or movies or whatever. And so a lot of memories as a child tied up into that type of retail. So, yeah, that being the last big one going out of business, it's a little sad.
Understood. Well, what else? Do we have anything else to talk about with 2021? Anything else you're looking forward to? Anything you think might not happen?
Well, I mean, just looking back at 2020, there's still a ton of stuff that I missed out on. You know, I haven't watched Soul yet. I haven't gotten to see Jingle Jangle, and I wanted to. So, like, there's still a ton of stuff that I need to catch up on in the next few months.
Yeah, that's fair. I wanted to see Extraction, which was the Chris Hemsworth Netflix film. Right. I did want to see...
Which surprised everybody. Like, nobody expected it to be good.
Yeah, and it's getting sequels now as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wanted to see Bloodshot. I know it's probably not great, but I like Vin Diesel, and I'm curious about the character. So I wanted to see that one, too. So that was on my list, but, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch Tenet.
Well, if
you're
no,
not... you have to go see that in theaters.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're not going Please. To see it in theaters.
Why don't you just go slap Chris Nolan in the face while you're at it?
Hey, look, he's the one who wants to make video games now. Where does he think those are going to get played?
Theaters. Otherwise, they don't get released, Derek.
My bad. So we got to rent out a theater to play
right, exactly.
Inception the game.
That's how it was meant to be played.
And then he'll make a movie, Inception the game, the movie.
Stop it.
The game within the movie? Wow. How deep does this rabbit hole go?
It goes so deep.
So deep.
Oh, man, we lost our OBS connection again. Hang on. Wait for it. Okay, we're back. Sorry about that, everybody. Technical difficulties.
You know it.
All right, do we have anything else that we would like to cover?
God, I don't think so. So 2020 was, like everybody says, kind of a dumpster fire, and all of our lives have been changed for better and worse because of it. So I hope 2021 is a lot better for all of us, for both of you. And I'm looking forward to one more year of podcasting with you guys.
Just one more?
Stop it.
Is this you announcing your retirement?
Stop it. I didn't say just one more. Okay, I said one more.
All right. Fair enough.
Well, we got a lot to look
forward to. Now you're not looking forward to it anymore.
Right? Like
I just ruined it.
We've got a lot to look forward to this year. I'm really excited about a lot of what we're going to cover. I'm really looking forward to some of the new things that we're going to try out. So, stay tuned. Next week, we're going to be covering the live-action Mulan, which is available on Disney Plus, not part of the premium, just regular Disney Plus now. That's why we're covering it now. Mm-hmm. And then we kick off WandaVision. We'll be discussing, as Ray said, we'll be covering WandaVision each week through its 9 episodes to kind of try out that new format and see how it goes. So you can journey through WandaVision with us.
Yeah, you get 3 days to watch it, and you can come join us live and chat with us about it. And we'll talk about whatever you bring up, and it should be a good time.
That's right. That's right. So we, of course, are the Screen Heroes Podcast on the Heroes Podcast Network. You can find us at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter, heroespodcasts.com, where you can stream the show, or you can subscribe to our show on any number of podcast services like Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and more. If you drop us a review, we will read your review on the show, good or bad. We will discuss your review on the show. So please leave us a review where you can. Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, and Stitcher are great places for that. If you want to reach out to any of us, I am at The Star Trek Dude on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Ryan, where can people find you?
You can find me at Buster Props, where I'm probably not posting anything, but I will get a notification and maybe ignore it depending on what the comment is. We'll see. If it's the Nicolas Cage thing and you want to talk to me about the history of swear words, then I'll definitely respond.
Yes, definitely talk to Ryan about Nicolas Cage.
And also Rachel. She doesn't act like she wants to talk about it, but she really does.
Deep down inside. You are going to regret it if you talk to me about it, because I will not participate. Ryan, you'll actually get a good
conversation. We'll just make sure to tag her in each one so she gets a notification every time until she blocks me.
Speaking of Ray, where can people find you?
I'm at Siren Ray on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Fantastic. Thank you to everyone who joined our live stream. We live stream on the Heroes Podcast Network public page on Facebook every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. Thank you to everybody who joined us and chatted with us during the show. We really appreciate all of your comments. They really mean a lot. So thank you for that. We will catch everybody next week. Happy New Year. Here's to 2021.
Yeah. That's a lot of exclamation points. You really got to cut that down.